Welcome to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm your host, Amy Debrick, and I'm so glad you're here. As you know, purpose gives you confidence. Confidence that you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, even if you haven't figured out how to do it yet. Purpose provides certainty that what you're doing does matter. And when you act with purpose, you project strength, authority, and authenticity. Because of that, I am so excited to share season 4 with you and all the tools, resources, and shared wisdom that will help you build and keep the confidence and self-esteem you need to be brave, and also to live the life God has for you. Being confident about our purpose helps us stay in our lane and eliminates comparisons. Now, if you are looking for some one-on-one coaching to help break down self-doubt and rebuild your self-esteem, be sure to schedule a free discovery call with me today. You can access that link on my website at amydebrick.com. But for now, let's get started.
Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, I am so excited, even though we've been chatting for at least 20 minutes, with Megan Whatley. Megan is the creator of A Beautiful Box. And so we're going to talk all about the beautiful movement. And I'm so excited to have you this morning, Megan.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, Megan, if you can just share a little bit of your background with the listeners before we get started and dive into all the good stuff you've got.
Yeah, so I actually have a master's degree in counseling, and I've been helping girls for almost 10 years now, I guess. And then I do have a life coach certification through John Maxwell. And then through that, I've started the Beautiful Movement, where I'm able to use the skills that I've learned to create this box. And I feel like, and I hope to take it, you know, it's more than just gifts, but really take it to the next level of life skills, mental health awareness, and things like that, to really just help girls grow in every area of life.
I love that. I love that it's more than just a box of goodies. And there's some really, I mean, I know you're a thought leader anyway, but just the significance behind it, and that you're even thinking about things like mental health and all of that when you're creating these boxes and getting them into the hands of young women. Mm-hmm. I think that that's incredible. So we're going to dive right in here, because if you have not followed Megan, please do and check out A Beautiful Movement. It is such an inspiring ministry. And so I first just want to ask you, what inspired you to create these boxes for teen girls? Because I think it's no secret with teen girls being bombarded on social media with all kinds of things we don't want them exposed to. So what inspired you to really create something through your ministry that would speak into them?
Yeah, so the Beautiful Movement actually started not as a subscription box, but 6 years ago in Alabama. That's where I'm originally from. And the Lord gave me a vision after I graduated with my psychology degree to have local events for girls, meet once a month at different locations to dig into God's word and just have fun and like grow together in Christ. So I stepped out in faith and didn't even know really any girls back then, because I'd moved away for college and had just moved back home. And I felt led to start this. So I'm like, okay, well, I just created an Instagram page. And I thought, well, we'll have it at the coffee shop. I reached out to a friend. She was going to be my co-leader. And we just jumped straight in, like, hey, if you want to come hang out and dig into God's word, you know, come to the coffee shop this day and time. We didn't know who would show, but 14 girls showed. So we were like, okay, this is amazing. And then we just didn't skip a beat, literally. And then it kept growing and growing. Every month is growing. And we ran that for 3 years. I believe it was 3 years. The last year we did go every other month or quarterly, because I'd moved away for a job, but we were doing every month for at least the 2 years. And through that, we had over 10 schools involved, and I had a team of leaders that helped me, because obviously it grew way bigger than me and my co-leader. And we would put on these big elaborate events, and it was incredible seeing the girls come together. We'd always do a different theme, which ties in now with the box. So there would be a different theme. If it was a masquerade, where we were at a wedding venue with, every, you know, people would come in and decorate their mask, and they'd wear the mask. And So we'd always do a fun activity. I'd speak to them, but then once the groups got so big or the events got big, we broke into like team leaders. So we'd have small groups in addition to speaking so that the girls were able to connect. And it was just really, really amazing what God did in those 3 years. And even starting the movement like in the schools. So girls were doing things in their schools, and then the schools took notice. So then they were reaching out to me, you know, what is the beautiful movement? Can you come speak at the school? So then I started doing assemblies, and girls were getting saved at assemblies at school. It was just,
wow.
It was so crazy how fast the Lord grew that. And everything was free too for the girls. And at this time I'm going to grad school for the counseling degree and working like 2 part-time jobs. And me and my co-leader would plan a theme and an event, and we're like, well, we don't know how we're going to pull this off financially, but this is what we're going to do. And I would just start getting checks in the mail. My mom had her own salon at the time, so people would just stop by and donate money or say, hey, how can we help? So I created a Facebook page back then of, hey, this is the event we're doing. We need hot dogs, hamburgers. So we'd always feed them too. So I just started posting what we needed because I realized the community wanted to get involved, and it was really, really cool. And we always had like down to the the penny, but we always made it work. You know, there was times I'm like, we're going to have to cancel this event. Like, for example, we were doing a pumpkin carving and like with a bonfire, and so many girls had messaged me like, I've never carved a pumpkin before, like I'm so excited. And you know, we had been advertising it for a couple weeks, and then I go out to get pumpkins and I'm like, oh, these are $10 a piece, you know, like if we have 50 or 60 girls, that's $500 or $600. And in addition to the other supplies that we needed to feed them and things. So I remember calling my co-leader on the way home. I was just so discouraged because I was like, I don't know how we're going to pull this event off. You know, this might be the first one that we have to cancel. And she's like, well, let's just pray about it. And on the top, I want to go all out. So I didn't want to get them a little tiny pumpkin, you know? So sure, I could have got the $3 pumpkin, but it was going to be so tiny. And I'm like, no, that's not the vision that I have for this. So I got home, and within a few hours, I got a random phone call from someone in the community. They're like, hey, I saw your post that you're having, you know, pumpkins for October. Have you found them yet? And I said, no, I'm still, you know, figuring out where we're going to get them from. And she said, well, the pumpkin patch called me, the owner did, and I don't even know the owner, but he said he wanted to donate as many pumpkins as you need. So it was just every month like that, the Lord just provided every single time. So that's how the Beautiful Movement originally started. And back then I thought, man, this is just so amazing. I want this to be my job one day, but I didn't know what that looked like. So fast forward 3 years, I graduated with my counseling degree, moved out of town for a counseling job. And it just kind of, you know, obviously it fizzled out. And then the girls had graduated out of high school anyways. Mm-hmm. And I just began working as a counselor. And then fast forward now, and in between this, I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I knew nobody. Like, I took a job, but I knew nobody. And working as a counselor, and this was in 2020, so everything was virtual. I was super unhappy working from home. That just was not great for my mental health. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table just like, Lord, this isn't it. Like, this is not what you have for me. I know there's something else, but I don't know what it is. And this is 2020, so people aren't meeting in person.
Sure.
All my sessions were online. And as I'm sitting there crying at the table, because I'm like, I know there's something else that you want me to do, but I don't know what it is. And he spoke to my spirit again about the Beautiful Movement. And I'm like, that's impossible. Like, so I was just arguing, I'm like, this is 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I can't do in-person events anymore. So I'm like, that's... this is not going to work. So I'm literally frustrated and arguing with God. And then he's like, no, no, no. Subscription boxes. So I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And I had stumbled, ironically, had stumbled across a business. It was a subscription box business, like the Happy Box. I don't even know, but it was like you could order a box for somebody to like just surprise them and like make their day, like give them a happy or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's an interesting concept. And so I'm just sitting there praying like, Lord, what do you want? Like, I had no concept of subscription boxes, you know, on my radar. And I mean, at this point, I don't think I'd ever ordered one for myself. So then he just gave me this vision, you know, of having a box where I'm literally sending them all over the United States. I'm no longer limited to my community in that, you know, 60-mile radius of people who would drive. He showed me it's a way to make impact for him all over the United States, not just locally anymore. So that was at the end of 2020 when he downloaded that vision for the boxes.
That's amazing. It is amazing, isn't it, how things kind of just play out and one thing threads to the next. And so mm-hmm. here you had this in person and then all of a sudden from that, and then the pandemic hits. And there's so many things that I've heard like coming out of the pandemic that no one would have thought or imagined prior to that, but how mm-hmm. we really had to pivot and maybe listen a little bit closer and, I don't know, just the different things that came out of that that were really beautiful and special and created more connection than prior to that.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because the world shut down, but then we had to find more creative ways to become completely connected how we were before without being in person. And I think that the box is incredible. Now, I know that you have, I think it's a theme every month, or not every month, but every box. So mm-hmm. what does that process look like for you? How do you, because you don't have teenage girls, even though obviously you've been in that community for years and you know, and being a counselor and all of that, what, you know, what the interests are and aren't, but what does that process look like for you when you are trying to be strategic in the message and the items that you're putting in those boxes?
Sure. So I do have a team of ambassadors that help me. They're local and they're in middle or high school. So they do help me, you know, pick out the fashion items and things mm-hmm. like that. Because a lot of times it would be different than what I would pick. But so I'm so thankful for them. But as far as the theme, we sit down in our meetings. And if we're thinking about, you know, November or the August box, you know, whatever month it is, I ask them, you know, what are you, you know, in your friend group, what are you thinking about in March or whatever month we're planning for? So what are you thinking about? How are you feeling? And what are you doing in that month? So we really base it on the thinking, feeling, and doing for the most part. And then from that, we brainstorm different themes, and then I have some categories that we always put in the box. So there's always something for faith, fun, fashion, and then a friend or a family member, because I want to encourage girls, like it's not just about them giving gifts, but like giving back mm-hmm. and being kind to someone else. So we threw that piece in there. So once we have the theme, then it's okay, well, what's something fashionable that can go with that theme? What's something fun that can go with that theme? And so we just go through that whole process. And then, you know, it's with the socks that went in the worship box. So that one was a little different because, you know, we were thinking, well, we'll do like a dream big box or, you know, something about a vision board because it's January. But I also pray about the box. Like, what do the girls need? The Lord knows what these girls need. Right. So even though that thinking, feeling, and doing is something we really like heavily consider at our meetings, it's also praying and making sure that's what the Lord wants us to do, really, you know? So through prayer, it was just, I just kept going back to like the winter worship, like, you know, pausing, let's have a life of worship. And what does that look like? You know, it's more than just a worship song that we listen to. So that was behind the January box.
Yeah. The January box was absolutely adorable. My daughter would, if she was here today, she would be able to say that in person, but but just adorable. So blue light glasses, was one thing. And I do love, that was just one of the things in there. But, when you were talking about how you're also trying to give back, you had, they were the keychains.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a short lanyard, however anybody describes it, and one for you and one for a friend. And so I love that whole piece. I love the cards. My daughter loves putting up cards and stuff like that. I think it's a nice option when you don't always have a picture to put up, is to read mm-hmm. something. I'm not a huge affirmation person in the sense where we're just kind of having... now we're having ourselves be that yes men of just filling ourselves with, you know, we're this, we're that. Mm-hmm. I'm not against, obviously, knowing your worth and being reminded of that. Don't get me wrong. But I think that there needs to be a different piece, especially when it's how God sees you. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of times with regular affirmations, that piece is left out. And so I really appreciated those for, you know, when you see your daughter hanging cards up, is yes, you are all these things because, you know, in Christ. And yes. so I think it's really nice to me always feel good about the content that are in these boxes as a mom. And I think you guys do a great job. And I love that you have ambassadors that are that age, and they probably are loving that. Able to pick things out. And I thought that was funny. You were like, I mean, they pick things that I wouldn't have necessarily picked, but right. That's the whole point.
That's yeah. I'll be so excited about like a pen that I think is so cute. And they'll go with like a more mature one. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I thought, you know, this one was really cute, but you know, so it is funny, even with the socks, you know, I'll send them. Cause once we have our meeting, and I'll take magazines and stuff too, that we'll look through, and then I'll come home and source the products. And then in our group message, I'll just send a bunch of pictures like, okay, here's four options for socks, you know, which one, and they'll vote on them. And I go with what wins, you know?
Right.
So I totally trust their opinion.
That's awesome. And they know that. And I think that adds another value to the box. Yeah. Is that you're really speaking into this age group because you're really giving them the authority to say, yes, no, I mean, I think I might know a little bit better of what we might like. So I love that. But Megan, now as a counselor and just in creating these boxes and this movement and all that you've done, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges or issues that girls, younger girls are facing today?
I would say for sure, self-esteem, but it's linked, I would say 9 times out of 10, to social media. I have seen so many teenagers who are self-harming and or suicidal because of social media and what they're seeing or what people are commenting or messaging them. So to me, social media it definitely has its positives, but for teenagers, I'm not seeing a whole lot of positive that comes from it. It's been more of the negative for their mental health.
Yeah. Which is interesting because at our public school, they just had an assembly with a speaker speaking into how social media can be positive. And I agree with you. It can be, but I'm similar to you, struggling to find what that really is for this specific age group. Of course, I think there is positives, but when you are dealing with a vulnerable age group in general, you're heightened of feeling insecure in general. I don't think every platform is fulfilling and positive for every age group. And so I think there sometimes needs to be a growth and maturity that needs to happen before you can even appreciate or say, oh yes, here's the positives in Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever the case is. But when you're in that thick of being so vulnerable and so insecure, you're just struggling. You're just, you know, struggling to survive, let alone now have to deal with that pressure. And I think I think that's really unfortunate that it's still happening. And now I feel like it's just every year there's a new platform that's just making it even worse. And yeah, that's definitely, I would agree with that for sure.
And it's just, you know, they click on their Instagram app and they see all these other girls or, you know, whoever having fun, and then they might be having a horrible day and they're like, oh, you know, their life's so much better than mine. Right. When in reality, you just saw what, 2 seconds of someone's day.
Yeah.
And they could be posting that selfie looking confident, but they could have been crying an hour before. We don't know.
Right.
Know what their home life is like. Are they posting all these selfies and looking confident because they get no validation from their family? Or, you know, is this picture with a group of friends you feel left out? Was this taken right now? Or was that a 2-month-old picture? You know, like we don't know what the person behind the screen is actually doing or feeling. So right. I think it's such a misrepresentation of someone's life. And I do love social media. I really do. So don't get me wrong, but I think for teenagers, it can be a dangerous playground if they're not aware of what can be going on behind the screen and not just taking everything at the surface. And then one thing that was really popular was creating fake accounts on Instagram, following people at school, and then just, I mean, bullying them to no end online. So that was another thing. I had a lot of clients I was seeing for that, you know, just getting random messages, someone saying, hey, you should go kill yourself. Mm. Well, then that person takes that to heart because they're already insecure.
Right.
So now getting these ugly messages just affirms that, yeah, I should in my life because nobody cares about me.
Right.
But you also have to think, I don't even know this person. You know, this is a fake account. I don't know who it is. It could be someone I know. It could not be. So I feel like a lot of education on social media and healthy boundaries. And if you're following someone that every time you scroll past their photo, you feel a negative emotion, if that's jealousy or sadness, whatever it is, just unfollow them. You know, it's not that you don't like the person, but we really have to protect our mental health at the end of the day.
Well, I think you hit on something really strong there, which is boundaries. And I think sometimes I don't even know that somebody scrolling at that age would consider that as a negative emotion or a negative feeling. When you have envy, mm-hmm. you're thinking like, oh, that's something that's appealing. Well, really, it's like you're saying, it's really a negative effect mm-hmm. on you because now you're feeling like you have this FOMO of something. And mm-hmm. so the reality is it's not serving you, but I don't think, and that's, I think, where the maturity and growth needs to happen before you're able to, sometimes you just are unable to recognize, oh no, that's a negative. Me mm-hmm. envying her life or whatever we think it is, like you said, in this 2-minute posed and staged photo,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to really have somebody there to break that down. And I do think that that's where parents need to be or try to get more involved help creating these boundaries, because I think it's hard, because I agree with you. I love social media also, but there's so much stuff for young age groups to get caught up in. And I think that more than we even can expect, or more than we can even see on the surface. And so, I think it's important for parents as well to, if their child can't create the boundary, then they need to create it for them. And that's not a popular opinion. I realize that as a parent, I know firsthand. But I think you have to protect your child first, and they may not like it for a while, but a few years out of it, when they're mature enough to handle it, they'll appreciate it for what it was.
Yes, I agree.
Well, so before we wrap things up, Megan, I want to just ask you, how can women of all ages really encourage these young adult women, whether it's through a beautiful movement, but how can we spread confidence in young women today outside of just one particular thing? What is, as especially with your counseling background, what is one thing that we could be doing every day for young adult women, whether they're our daughters or whether they're just young women we see out? What could we be doing for them?
I think it could be a simple thing of just kindness. You know, I feel like teenagers feel invisible, especially to adults. You know, they don't, with my background with the clients I've seen, their parents aren't very present. So when they have a teacher that's so nice to them, you know, just the kindness of feeling seen, makes a huge difference. But then I also think if it's someone you know, just bringing them under your wing and like mentoring them, if you have time, starting a Bible study or taking them out to lunch, you know, if it's once every 2 weeks or, you know, whatever you can do, but really finding someone to invest in, I think, and that can really make a lifelong impact.
I love that. And that is so true. I think sometimes we're in such a rush, but sometimes we need to slow down, not only for ourselves, but for the people around us, because you just don't realize or don't know what an impact you can have on somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. And so, well, Megan, I appreciate everything that you are doing, speaking into young women. How can people connect with you outside of this interview, in addition to subscribing? And again, you know, when we're talking about these boxes, and you may be a listener who is like, I don't even have a daughter or whatever, but take a look around you. You know, there may be a girl in your community like Megan's talking about, and this is a good opportunity for you to reach out and just extend to her. And this box is a beautiful, beautiful way to do that. But Megan, how can they reach out to you and connect with you personally?
Yeah. So I will touch on that really fast. I do have a handful of adult women that sponsor girls. So it's, you know, they may not have a daughter, but the Lord's placed someone in their neighborhood. You know, one lady comes to mind where she literally sponsors a girl that's in her neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And at first it was a surprise. So she did a local pickup and just put it on the girl's doorstep. And so the girl didn't know who it was from. And she opened it up. She tagged me and was saying how it made her day, like all these kind things. And she's like, but I have no idea who did this, but it's like made, you know, such an impact on my life and means so much. And so now she actually sponsors her monthly. And from that, now she's having a Bible study with the girl at her house. And so, you know, you might think, oh, I'm not, you know, just sending someone a gift. Well, it's more than a gift. You know, that's our prayer for this whole box. It's more than a gift. I do write them a letter or include a YouTube video to dig deeper into that theme, because it is about making an impact. So anyways, if there is a girl on your mind and you want to sponsor her, that would be amazing. A way to follow me and connect would be on Instagram at the_beautiful_movement. And then my email is hello@jointhebeautifulmovement.com. And then the website is www.jointhebeautifulmovement.com.
Well, Megan, you have such amazing things happening, and I'm so excited for you in this ministry. I'm excited for the young girls' lives that you're touching. I know it has really touched my daughter's life with just these two boxes. So I pray that this just continues to spread all over the country and just do the work that God has waiting for it. So I'm excited. You're planting all these seeds, and I can't wait to see what grows from it.
Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure being here today.
Well, friend, that's it for me today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to the Life on Purpose podcast so I can continue spreading encouragement and confidence. And if you haven't already, I would love if you would grab a copy of our book, Embolden. Embolden is an encouragement journal that I co-wrote with my oldest daughter, and its purpose is to meet women where they are today, but to not leave them there. So until next time, keep living your life on purpose, and God bless.